Okay, take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Hope you all have enjoyed yourself today in God's house. I really enjoy afternoon services because you have church in the morning, and then you get in the afternoon. It's like, it's just kind of cool because it just stays the whole time. You eat lunch with church family. It's just a great day. So, in my opinion, I always enjoy it when we have afternoon services. 1 John has been an interesting book. I've been studying it in my personal devotions, January and right till the end of the beginning of February, I've been studying it. And inside of chapter 4, God had worked in my heart about something I want to share with you all. But before we hop into today's passage and all that stuff, I want to talk to us today, this afternoon, about the concept of you can't have one without the other. The title for this afternoon's message, you can't have one without the other. And it's an interesting concept that we find in our life that you can't. There's lots of things in life we cannot have unless there's something else that comes along with it. And as I was sitting there thinking about this phrase, something that pops in my mind, first thing was responsibility. Privileges. When you get privileges, the thing that comes right along with it is what? Responsibilities. You think about driving a car. Maybe the first time you've ever driven a car by yourself. If you haven't driven a car by yourself, and I'm sorry, you might be a little too young to understand that feeling yet. But if you remember the first time you ever drove by yourself as a teenager or a young adult, whenever it was, that feeling of maybe independence, that feeling of there's all these thoughts that go in your mind, and then all of a sudden the responsibility hits you when a car comes close to you. It's like, ooh, I need to be careful. Oh, I need to make sure I stay in my lane. Oh, I need to make sure I turn slow. And there's all these different thoughts. For me, I was a very, very cautious driver when I started. Would not go over the speed limit. In fact, I'd go one under. That is not the case anymore. But it's just that whole thought process of if we have privileges, we have responsibilities. Same thing. If we want knowledge, if we want to learn, what comes with learning? Studying. There's things that get coupled together in our life that we just can't help it. It's just the way it works. So, as I was reading through and getting through this path, this is a fun one. Getting strong. Lots of, especially teenage guys, the young guys, people my age, they want to be really strong, lots of them, but they don't want to spend the time lifting weights, eating right more than lifting weights. They don't want to spend the time it would take to be able to develop muscles, to be able to get strong. Everyone do it. Athletes, if you want to be great at doing something, it takes lots of time. It takes lots of practice. It takes lots of effort. Musical instrument. The reason why lots of people aren't Beethoven is because it takes a lot of practice to get to where Beethoven was. So it's that whole thought process I want us to look at this afternoon about you can't have some things without there being something else. So, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get right into the passage. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for giving us a great day in your house. Thank you for allowing us to be able to be here. Thank you for everyone who was able to come. Please help us, dear Heavenly Father, tonight, that we would, as we look inside this passage, that we would see who you are and what you want us to learn. Please guide my words, lead me and direct me, fill me with your spirit and what you want me to say, and please help us to learn and grow in your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to start reading inside of 1 John chapter number 4. It says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." So the first thing I want us to look at, and it's the first thing of the starter, is the fact that before anything else, we need to realize God is love. It says inside of 1 John chapter 4, verse number 8, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." I want to look at this principle about God being love today and how it reflects and how it connects to the rest of our Christian life. So the fact is, God is love. There is no way around it. The Bible just clearly states it. Out of everything else, God is love. which according to when I learned inside a grammar class back in third grade, that little word is means that it's a linking verb, so it means it's a sentence where the subject and then the predicate nominative, they can be switched. So God is love, that means love is God. Yeah. That's how that sentence would work. So at least grammatically in that sense. So God is love. So then that puts it into your mind. That means everything that requires love, that means everything that is love, everything that has an ounce of love, that love, that knowledge about love comes from God. Amen. Without God, there is no love. Amen. Without God, humanity does not grasp the concept of love. There is no parents loving their children. There is no children loving their parents. There is no, you can think about it in any context you want to. If you take God out of it, there's a lack of love. If you see inside of our society today, there is a lack of genuine, true love. And the reason for this is because God's been being taken more and more out of society. And when you take God more and more out of society, you take more and more of God's attributes out of society, which makes now society that doesn't love as much. Society that's focused on self. But this principle is just the start about how God is love. So, and he's like, okay, well, that's a pretty easy statement to say. But then I think it's pretty awesome about how the Bible is, about how inside of verse number 8, it just flat out says God is love. And in verse number 11 through 12, 13, 14, God just like proves like, hey, this is how you can know that I am love. In verse number 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfect. Affected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us of his spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. So right there they give the act that proves that God loves us. That he sent Jesus to die on the cross. That he sent Jesus, a perfect person, a perfect form, a perfect like God the Father and then God the Son. He sent God the Son down to the earth to die for us in an act of sacrifice, in an act of love because he loved humanity. There's no other reason for it. No other reason at all. So, and then verse number 16, and he hath known and believed in the love that God hath to us. God is love. It says it there again. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. So I think it's really cool that God demonstrates his love to us. Most popular verse in the Bible is John 3:16, for God so loved the world. It's just all throughout the Bible is this instance that God loves us, that God loves us. So, and then we think about other places where it talks about love. The first fruit of the Spirit is love. And it's interesting how that love is kind of like at the center of, like, it seems like with Christianity and other stuff, that love, lots of people, love should be like the center because God is love. And it's interesting here because we as believers, and this is what I kind of want to, with the thought that we talked about earlier, about you can't have one without the other, is that we love God. We love God. I would say, I feel like everybody in this room would say that they love God. If you don't love God, I don't know why you're in church. I mean, unless somebody invited you and it's your first time. But it's a fact that everybody who is a believer should love God. And then God tells us how we should love him. We should love him with our whole heart. But God does something interesting when writing this passage. He does something very, very interesting. Inside of verse 11, it says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So he plants a little bit of a seed right here. And then he comes back to it inside of verse number 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. So he kind of says about why we need love. Some reason we can be like Christ in this world while he's physically not here. I mean, I know he's in our hearts, but while Jesus isn't here, we're supposed to now show the world the love of God. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And then he starts really honing back in what we're going to spend some time on. Verse number 19, we love him because he first loved us. So he gives us this principle that is a really important principle for us to grasp. We cannot love God without God first loving us, which is a great it's an easy thought, because if God is love, obviously if God does not show us love, that means then we cannot love God. But then the way he puts it here is that we cannot love God unless God loves us, which is good. But then if we remember back in verse 11, and he's going to tie it together here in verse number 20. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Verse 11. Verse number 20. If a man say, I love God, which I believe everybody in this room would say, I believe all believers would say that. Verse, and then keep going. And hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And as I was even studying this in my devotions, God kind of spoke to me there first. God kind of spoke to me. He's like, okay, you say you love me, but if I hold any hatred, any contempt, any bitterness in my heart towards a believer or towards family, however you want to classify the word brother there, as in church family, as in my brothers or sisters, or in my actual physical family, if I hold hatred in my heart, that means I don't love God, even though I say I love him. And this comes back to this principle, you can't have one without the other. You can't love God and then hate somebody else. Hate might be even a strong word. You can't really dislike people. You cannot not love somebody else and love God at the same time, because that aspect, they clash together. It's like being able to have your driver's license, but then having no responsibility or repercussions. You can just go out and do whatever you want. That's not how it works. It's like you can't just learn stuff without reading, without studying. You just can't do it. It's the same sort of way here with God. You can't love God and dislike your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ or your family, however you want to cut it. And that's what God kind of spoke to my heart about, and kind of what I want us to deal with and kind of talk about here for a second. So first point was God is love. Second one, our love is an indicator of our relationship with God. And as I was studying this and looking at this, this thought kind of popped in my head, and God's been working on my heart about it. It is the thought of, we cannot love God if we hate others. It's pretty simple. We talked about that for a second. So our relationship with others is a direct correlation to our relationship with God. Now, as I was sitting there thinking about what it means that if I say I love God and I hate somebody else, what does that say about my Christian life? Or you can personalize it yourself, say about your Christian life. Because if I say I have this great relationship with God, and I want to pray, and I want to read my Bible, and I want to do all this stuff with God, yet I'm holding bitterness in my heart, that means I'm trying to mix God with flesh. And like oil and water, they don't mix. They're going to separate. They're going to push against each other. They're going to fight each other. And you know what that creates? Creates miserableness. That's why lots of believers, I think, sometimes are miserable, because inside their heart, they want to do what's right and love God, but there's something at them that just pulls and fights that they don't want to give up, their bitterness or their anger or their dislike for somebody. So instead of like giving that up all over to God, they harbor with it, and they can't love God and do that at the same time. So it then tells me about my relationship with God, or you, your relationship with God. Because if you're holding hatred in your heart, is your walk with God right? Is your walk with God where it's supposed to be? Because if we think about it, what does God tell us? God tells us not to have hate. God tells us to walk with him. And if we're walking closer and closer to God, what does that mean? We should be having more and more of God's attributes being manifested in our life. And if we are not walking with God, then what are we going to have? More and more attributes of the flesh manifesting in our life. That's just, it's how it works. If we hang out with the world, we're going to be like the world. If we hang out with God, we're going to be more like God. It's just how it works. So in our lives, our relationship with others is a direct correlation to our relationship with God. And that thought kind of made me start to think and assess my relationships. Well, how is my relationship with my wife? We're newlyweds, so it's a good relationship. We haven't known each other we haven't been married for like 6, 7, 8 years, so we don't hate each other yet. That was a joke, of course. And then you have, like, you think about it, how is my relationship with my brother? I love my brother. I mean, these are easy ones. My relationship with my parents, my relationship with my mother-in-law. I mean, like, I can go down a list of people. How are my relationship with this person and this person and this person? How is my relationship with the different teenagers? Like, I can go down all my list of people in that I am associated with my life. And I can have, oh, that's good relationship, that's good relationship, that's good relationship. And I can click off all these relationships, and then I can come to one or two and be like, I don't like that person. Because in our flesh, it's really easy for us not to like people, because sometimes people are annoying. Sometimes people are hard to deal with. You can like have a whole bunch of different reasons why. But if I harbor bitterness or animosity in my heart towards them, it shows me that I do not have the love of God in my life. Because I cannot hate my brother and sister and love God. You cannot do both. They do not go together. So that's the first thing it shows. Next one. We're going to keep on reading. If any man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar, for he loveth not his brother whom he have seen. How can he love God whom he have not seen? Which this brings in a really cool thought here. It begs a really good question. How in the world can we say that we love God? And then we're going to move on. But how in the world can we say that we love God whom we've never actually physically seen, but then we hate the person that we interact with? Like, that's just a huge, how can you love somebody who you haven't seen, but the people that you hang out and you spend time with and you see, how can you hate them? This doesn't matter. It's like, well, people are annoying. Yes, I know. But I'm sure to God, we can be extremely annoying with all the times we sin and mess up when we know we're not supposed to. So, like, it goes on both hands. It goes either way. So, and then I was thinking about it with my life. If I was to ask somebody, it was kind of funny. It happened a couple weeks ago on the bus route. So I've been working with these specific bus kids that we've had for, let's think here, year and a half? Almost, it's probably about a year and a half. We started picking them up. We started the bus route back up in June. We've had the same group since June of, not last year, but the year before. So it's been about a year and a half. It's a year and a half. So this group of kids has been exposed to me the entire time, since day one. I pick them up. I go visit their house on Saturday. I'm with them on Sunday. You can say whatever it was. I am in these kids' lives. It's just how it is. I know their parents. I know what they like. I know what they don't like. There's a whole list of things I can say. And then you can insert somebody new into their life, like my wife. And something really funny happened because the other day, probably about a month ago, we went out on visitation. And we go up and normally a habit, I knock on the door. Well, this one house, she beat me up the stairs because I was talking to somebody who was downstairs and she went upstairs because this person, they live in an apartment building where there's a second floor. So she beat me upstairs and she goes and she knocks on the door. Normal. You can hear it. One of the boys, 8 years old. Who is it? And she's like, it's Miss Alyssa and Brother Christian. He's like, who? It's like, Miss Alyssa and Brother Christian. And she says it two or three times. And the child is still like, who? 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 And then I come up the stairs. I'm like, hey, Christian's here. And he goes, oh, Christian. Boom. Doors open. And he's like, and they just run right past her and they come say hi to me. It's not her fault. She only been there for a couple of weeks. They don't know her very well. They don't have a relationship with her. But for one of them to say, if they were to react the other way around, to where it's like they're super excited to see somebody who they don't even know, and they are like, the person that's invested in me, the person that spent time with me, the person that's helped me, I really don't care about them. I don't even like them. But the person, I have no clue who they even are, they're the best thing in the world. That just sounds backwards in our minds. At least in my mind, it sounds backwards. And God's saying the same thing. You can't have that same sort of a thought when it comes to me. Somebody who you don't see in real life. Somebody who you don't, you might see my leading in my hand, but you can't physically see me. You can't physically touch me. And then you hate the person that you see. So let's keep on moving because it shows something else. It shows our relationship with God. It's an indicator of our relationship with God. And then next, it shows faith if we love God. And verse 21, in this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. He that loveth God loveth his brother also. So it shows immense faith because, like we talked about, it's people who we haven't seen. If we love God and if we love our brothers and families around us, it then makes sense that if we love God, it takes tremendous faith. It takes tremendous extreme faith if you think about that we're going to trust the person that we haven't seen. somebody and love them unconditionally and want our love to keep growing more and more and more and more in connection with them. So loving God is hard because we haven't seen him. If we cannot love something in front of us, we can't love God. So bringing it back kind of full circle, then how does it really apply in our life? Since my time is getting away from me, I get on rabbit trails too much. That's what the teenagers say. So first one is we cannot love outside of God. It's a pretty simple thought. We've talked about it. Next one, making our relationship stronger with God helps our human relationships. And as I was going through this, it really helped me out. If my relationship with God is a direct indicator, with my relationship with the people around me, that means that my relationship with God should affect my relationships with everyone around me. That's just how it works. So if I'm closer and closer to God, that means I should be having better and better and better and better relationships with the people around me. So if I have a bad relationship with somebody, what does that mean? For one, I should need to get closer to God. If I get closer to God, God gives people wisdom and how to deal with people that's hard to deal with sometimes. And then, or maybe God gives me wisdom on what I'm doing wrong, and then I need to then go approach that person and have restoration. However you want to look at it, the closer and closer we get to God, the easier it is for our relationships with everyone around us. Now, the devil does like to work, the devil does like to move, the devil does like to affect our relationships, but the closer we are to God, the easier it is to have relationships with others. Next. Our human relationship, so our relationship to God. And I know we talked about that a little bit, but now the implication behind that is that the world sees believers, and our goal as Christians are, we have one goal, really, is to bring glory to God. And the greatest way to bring glory to God, there's a couple of different ways to do it, but the best way to bring glory to God is by leading somebody else to Christ, showing somebody else that they're going to hell and what God did for them, and they can get saved. The easiest way to bring glory to God. But if unbelievers look at believers and they see hate and discord and strife. You can go down the whole list of things. If they see that, why would they want that? They get enough of that in their own life. They get enough of that from their family. They get enough of that from the people at work. They get enough. You can list a whole bunch of people. Why in the world would they want more strife? Why in the world would they want more anger, however you want to phrase it. So our human relationships show our relationship to God. And then if we go up to somebody and say, hey, I love God, let me show you why. He's like, well, if you love God, why do I always hear you fighting with this person? Or why do I always hear you fighting with that person? However you want to say it. I thought it was really interesting at school when I was at college with my brother, Andrew, because we had two or three, maybe four people come up and tell us before I graduate in the second semester, they go, hey, you two actually like each other. You guys hang out with each other all the time. We have siblings on campus and they never hang out with each other. And it wasn't necessarily an indictment on the other ones because their schedules may not match up or whatever, but they go, you two actually like each other. And I was like, yeah, of course I like my brother. Why wouldn't I like him? But the thought then became behind it is those people actually respect us a little bit more. Because we could even just have a normal, good, healthy relationship with our family. So, and then I had several people after that come up and ask me a spiritual question, something like that. Because they saw that my relationship with others was good. They figured my relationship with God was good. It's not always that way, but it's a strong indicator that it can be that way. And next one, keep a loving relationship with God. The final big takeaway is keep a loving relationship with God. If you want to have a good relationship with family, and I know family can be difficult sometimes. If you want to have a good relationship with your church family, I know church family can be annoying sometimes. If you want to have a good relationship, well, you can list whoever, coworkers. I know coworkers can be really annoying sometimes. You can list whoever you want. If you want to have a good relationship with them, if you want to show them the love of God, that how God's worked in your life, get as close to God as you can. Because God loves you, and God is love. And if you want to show someone else the love of God, you must be close to God. Because without God, there is no love. And if you're not close to God, it means you're not close to love, which means you cannot show it to somebody else. Because you can't have one without the other. It's just the way it works. Our society is built on that. You can't have one thing without the other thing. So in my life, God was working on my heart about making sure I just stay close to him. If I have a problem with a relationship with somebody else, I need to assess it and ask God for help, and that God can help me restore it if it needs to be restored, if I'm doing something, because if not, it hinders my outreach to others. It hinders other people seeing me do something wrong, but it can also just hinder my relationship with God. Because if I'm hating somebody else, then God's like, no, you can't have that flesh in your heart and expect me to be there. So at the end of the day, we cannot have a good loving relationship with God if we are harboring hate and dislike in our heart towards others. We can try and try, but we will never truly love God if we hate them. So you may say that, what's the big deal if I don't love my brother or sister? The big deal is that you can't love God if you don't love them. And I believe all of us as believers, at the core of it all, we want to love God. Best way to love God, the only way we can love God, is if we love the other people around us. So in your life today, I would assess your relationships. I know it can be hard sometimes, but assess your relationships. See if there's somebody that you might have struggle with and take it to God. See if he can help. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing us to be able to come to church. Thank you for the message that you gave me. Please help us, dear Heavenly Father, that we would be people who love, people who have felt the love that you've given us, and we show it to others. We want to thank you for the many blessings that you give us. Please help us in our relationships with others, that we would be able to communicate properly the love that you've given us. Please help us today, dear Heavenly Father, that we would assess our relationships and make any relationship right that is wrong. In Jesus' name, amen.